All good? Lovely. For the sake of the recording of the meeting, one, can you all introduce yourselves when you start speaking, please? And two, this meeting will be recorded and the sound recording subsequently made available via the Council's website. Please also note that under the Openness of Local Government Bodies Regulations 2014, other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. The use of any images or sound recordings is not under the Council's control. So thank you very much, everybody, for being here. That starts and opens the meeting. Do we have any apologies?
Councillor Mia, Chair, and also I understand Councillor Bebbington may not be coming this evening.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Seaton will be here, but I think she's running a little bit
late.
Not running late.
Didn't even get the S down. Minutes of the last meeting. We have two sets of minutes. We have the 24th of January, which are the main Scrutiny Management Board meeting minutes, and we have the call-in minutes of the meeting of the 13th of February. Any comments or observations on those before somebody tells me what to do as I sign all the pages, I do believe.
Suppose they're correct, Chair.
Seconded.
Okay, everyone happy with that? Sign every page again.
Or initial every page and sign the last
page. Can I do it at the end? Is that allowed? Do it at the end. Splendid. Disclosure of pecuniary and personal interests. Do we have any? No. Item 4, declarations under the party whip. No. Item 5, questions under scrutiny committee procedure 11.16. No questions were submitted. Moving swiftly to the main part of the agenda, item 6, crime and disorder reduction and community safety. I'm just going to ask Chris and Brian if they can come and introduce this item, please. I shouldn't say that anymore, I can't help it.
Good evening, Chair. I'm Chris Trone, I'm Strategic Director for Neighbourhoods and Community Wellbeing. And Paul, if you want to introduce yourself.
Yes, Sergeant Paul Abram, Deputy Commander, Charlwood, Policing Area.
Thank you. We all know you, but you can...
Councillor Brian Page.
Splendid.
Having done those introductions, I just say that we are... not the people that you were expecting this evening, so I apologise. We would have had Tim McCabe, who's our Community Safety Manager. I was just explaining to Councillor Page that unfortunately he's dislocated his shoulder and collarbone, so that's the best excuse I've heard in a long time.
Reasonable.
Myself and Councillor Page support the Community Safety Partnership, so I am aware of the issues that we need to talk about this evening. And Paul's very kindly to come along and support us with some of the detail because Inspector Dwight Barker couldn't be here this evening, so we'll do our very best to answer your questions.
Greatly appreciated, thank you.
The report that you have in front of you, I'll just do a little bit of introduction, I'm sure Paul's got a lot to say on it as well. It does unashamedly focus upon the performance delivered against the 2017 and 18 Community Safety Partnership priorities. Councillor Page is the chair, and my officers and Paul's team support that process. And it looks at specifically the analysis of quarter 1 to 3. There'll be no surprises that the themes and the priorities that are listed on page 2 of this report shouldn't be a surprise to anybody around the table. So making communities safer, protecting vulnerable people, and improving community confidence and community engagement. Just to highlight the report's key findings, which are discussed at the Community Safety Partnership quite in depth. crime has increased in this area by 12.7%, but it must be noted that this is a trend in the force and a national trend as well. And Charnwood's increase in crime puts us as, despite that increase, we are still the top of performing Community Safety Partnerships in Leicester, Leicestershire and Rutland. With other community safety partnerships. I'm really sorry about coughing. There we are, the community safety partnerships.
Can we get you a drink?
No, I'm fine, I've had a drink, but thank you. Are showing much higher increases in crime. And for the context of the police force area currently has an increase of 23%. I know that won't necessarily be a consolation, but I'll go on to say about some of the things that we are doing to try and tackle that and discuss that, those issues. In our family group, we're moving in the right direction, and we're currently placed 7 out of 15 in our family group of overall crime reduction. The Community Safety Partnership, during quarter 1 to 3, have worked effectively to reduce and control crime patterns, and it's pleasing to note that we've delivered the following reductions. All burglaries down by 11%, cycle theft is down by 7.8%, and shoplifting is down by 10.3%. The challenges that remain do include vehicle crime and violent crime, which are of course worrying. Both of these have increased. The latter, however, is as a result of an increase in ethical recording by the police. And Paul and I were talking about this as we came in. This is actually just getting the nub of reporting much more factually accurate, and to look at the position of the description of a crime and also the impact upon the victim. And we have been seen to see this in a positive light in terms of victims having confidence in the recording system, so that if I translate that, it's actually victims believe that something will be done about it, so they have more confidence in reporting. Antisocial behaviour has shown a 6% reduction during this period, and the partnership is committed to ensuring residents have a right to their quality of life, specifically in Charnwood. So to this end, we take robust action against DREET-related antisocial behaviour, and hopefully some of you will see an improvement in that in Loughborough Town Centre. We do have civil injunctions excluding 6 identified beggars from the town until December 2018. And we will seek an extension if there is evidence to do so. The injunction also allows us to serve notice on unknown individuals who also engage in begging. And I would say that that's been joined up action between our own teams who work in the CCTV team who help us monitor that situation as well. So we wouldn't just expect the police to rely on the police and town centre. This approach has resulted in 4 court appearances, and 2 individuals have received custodial sentences. One is currently pending as we're in court late April with another breach. On the Warwick Way estate, there are further 2 civil injunctions in place against 2 named individuals. So we haven't just confined that to this town centre operation. We see the use of civil powers as being key in managing offender behaviour. So just to finish as well, that the challenges going forward for the Community Safety Partnership, and then I'll stop for any points that Paul wants to add on for any questions. We carry out a partnership strategic assessment every year to identify key areas of threat, harm, risk. And this is reported at the Community Safety Partnership and is indeed challenged. So the areas causing most concern are drug misuse, particularly in Loughborough, and then its impact and role on increased crime, the increase in adults at risk due to their poor mental state and their poor life choices. And we covered some of that in very briefly in the safeguarding training last night with members. Youth-related knife crime, which is a national phenomenon. And the partnership is very receptive and acutely aware to those challenges, and the joint action group, which our officers on both sides are involved in, continue to direct resources in an intelligent-led approach in order to minimise the risk of offending and of re-offending. So I'll stop there. These are the main headlines from the report, and we're happy to answer questions or to present further report if there's anything to add.
Come back to the ethical recordings. That's quite a key thing, I think, within there. And again, it might reflect in some of the actual crime figures that we've seen. We've seen reductions in some areas, but increases in others. And the key one's violent crime, where in the past, there's a bit of a grey line between public code offences and violent crime, where you've got an actual victim of an assault. And we often in the past, I've got Ned out in the past, we'd see a number of those being recorded as a public order with no victim. Whereas now you'll see them being recorded as a criminal. We've got a victim, we've actually got a victim of an assault that's recorded as such as an assault. So you're going to see an increase in violent crime with a victim, as opposed to the generalised public order, victimless crime, like a fight in the town where nobody reports anything. So that's part and parcel of the ethical crime, because making sure we actually record the proper crime in the right way, rather than just a crime report's recorded somewhere, but it's a bit fudged around the detail of it. And again, we sent them, you're probably perhaps all aware, the centre with the shared ASB reporter system we use. Within there, a lot of low-level ASB potentially could be public order offences and minor criminal damage. It's trying to make sure that within that we don't muddle up where they should be reported. if it's a crime, if it's a criminal damage, it should be on our niche recording systems rather than Sentinel that has just ASB in general. And a lot of the ethical recorders making sure we get the right level of recording of offences in the right place, really. And that's basically what it means. So it's simplistic, but not simple, because it does impact on a lot of other areas and trying to make sure the recording is properly overall. Because then that leads on to the investigations dealt with in a different way as well. So that's the gist of the actual ethical crime recording.
I'm going to open up to the floor for questions first.
Thank you. Well, it besides a slight question, I think it's also a sort of statement. I think taking up what the officer has just said, and also Chris indicated, the way it's now recorded will show a spike. But maybe 2-3 quarters down the line it will even up, because we'll be used to that way of reporting. I think two people do report more frequently and are more encouraged to report, whereas I think a few years ago, I may be wrong, minor crime did not tend to be reported. And by that I mean if someone attempted, I came down in the morning and found the window of my car was broken, I probably wouldn't have reported it, I would have just got it fixed. Whereas I think now people are encouraged, and of course if you want to do anything through insurance you must have a number of recorded crime. I think compared to some other places, and I've travelled quite widely across the country, we are still a very safe community, and touch wood, hopefully we will. And bearing in mind there aren't many towns, and we are a town that has got nearly 20,000 students in it, that are, bring their own problems with them, and we are a mixed community. And I'm just wondering if I am on the right track there, that we are very much a varied community. We are normal. I think this is one of the reasons we were chosen in 2012 when they were doing the Olympics, the securities that were put in place, because we were such a diverse, almost a microcosm of other places. And I still think there are hard to reach people, and it is trying to get to the hard to reach. But I also think that it is trying to take people, and by that I mean everybody, parents, young people, everything, to take responsibility sometimes for their own actions. It is not always councils and police and other bodies' job to pick up the pieces from someone else not taking responsibility.
I agree. In short, I think you're right. We will see, without a doubt, a spike in some of the recording will change around different ways, without a doubt. And another key one we might see an increase in the reports of dwelling burglaries, like residential burglaries. This comes about because last year the government changed how they recorded. Prior to back end of last year, if somebody's shed was broken into, that was classed as a non-residential burglary. It's now a dwelling burglary, it's a residential break. So we're going to see an increase in those, because they will now be shown and reported as a dwelling break, which to most people means your house will be broken into. So that eventually will level out. We're going to see an initial spike of those, which will then level out. We'll be able to say, 12 months' time, we'll have a more accurate picture of where we are, sort of year on year again, trying to compare to old figures, because we can't now truly compare like without looking across a number of types of crime. Hate crime, classic one.
Yeah.
And again, to me, the hate crime in general, I think for an area the sort of size of London, the mix of Chandler area in general, really, really good. But we encourage reporting. It's almost like paradox, isn't it? We want it reported. We sort of suggest there's a lot of problems out there. There isn't. We want to know where it is so we can deal with it more accurately. And I think people in general that we speak to across all communities, they're happy to report things to us. There's generally a belief that they can report it, and it will get dealt with across the partnership. So I think people generally in the Chandwood area are generally happy with things are dealt with across all partnerships.
Can I just add a little bit to that? The other one is domestic violence.
Yes.
Which seems odd that we're showing quite a large increase in domestic violence. It's because people are now getting much more proactive or reactive. If they're coming to us or to the police and saying, I have had problems. Whereas before, it was, this keep it within the house, or keep it in the family. Mm-hmm. Now it's, I'm having it, I'm having trouble, that they're reporting it. And this reporting that's going on is probably, from what I, when we had it at the last meeting, we asked the police how much of it was due, how much of the increase is actually due to this extra reporting. And they came back and said it was about 8%. So it's 8% out of the 12.7. So it's quite a large proportion, but it's because they are now feeling that they can report it and something will be done.
Councillor Harris?
No, Keith Harris, Vice Chair of Policy. Can I ask a question about categories in a detail question, really, about the subject of begging as antisocial behaviour? Because I've been a victim of a different type of behaviour and I haven't reported it. It's some forms of begging are pretty obvious, where somebody's sitting on the street saying, "Any change, mate," or whatever. But I've been approached occasionally by people claiming that they haven't got any money to get back to wherever they claim to come from, and they have, you've got some money for their train fare or bus fare or whatever. Does that have a category? Is that a category itself, or is that a form of begging? I mean, how is it categorised?
I've done my name every time I speak. Sergeant Paul Layden, sorry, get used to this. It would form part of begging in general. There are probably subcategories within there, as everything there is, but overall, it's somebody trying to get money from you for a reason by begging, and often with a sob story with some description attached to it, so it's not uncommon. And we're often getting it as well, where they're going around knocking people's doors, so it's not just necessarily the town centre, it's knocking on doors with the same kind of, I need to get less, my parents are ill, my child's ill, so it's not uncommon.
That's happened in my ward.
Yeah, we've had some reports up around the Disley area. I'm aware of it. I've got an idea who's doing it. Well, that's another story. But again, we need the reporting. See, including reporting across all kinds of crime types helps us a better idea what's happening, where we can target resources into that area more specifically. Partnership, we can work with partnership and get media releases out there. So all the things we can do to put in place around prevention, but also we can then come on board and we can send resources there. We know something happened at this particular time, location and whereabouts, easy to target it. But it's encouraging reporting.
So I should report that if it's
definitely. We did have quite a few calls around that, around the Disley, so a lot of people did ring in about it. So again, it's, we need that.
But in the town centre, it happens to me occasionally.
And absolutely reported.
I haven't reported it because I thought, what can you do about it? The guy won't be there by the time anyone
investigates. If nothing else, it forms back the intelligence picture. It's the overall picture. We know what's happening when, so it kind of feeds into the. And again, the coverage of the cameras in the town are fantastic, aren't they?
Yeah.
I'm just going to say the CCTV would have seen you being approached.
But equally, we can tie that with some of the individuals who may be approaching an estate, so we get a description of people and then a repeat behaviour, then we can tie up in particular prolific offenders, and actually sometimes they work in gangs, so we can, you know, we tackle. It's really about prevention, but also making it as disruptive as possible for those individuals, so that it makes it unwelcome in this town, and I think that's the most important thing.
They should take note of what they look like.
Absolutely. Yeah. And again, we've got injunction in place on a number of people that are persistent beggars. There might be one of those already with injunction against us. So again, we can use that evidence to support that you're on the injunction, you're breaching the injunction. So there's all things we can tie together. And if it's persistent with somebody else, we can look at further injunctions on other people. There's lots of things we can do around it. And like Chris said, it's just making sure that, do you know what, it's not worth it to you. There's that much hassle. We'll hassle you. We'll make sure you don't want to do it to you. Go elsewhere. Leave people alone in the channel, so people in the channel can wander around day by day, just live life, nice life, being left alone as they want to be. I think that's the key thing, really.
Councillor Taylor.
Councillor Deborah Taylor. Just looking at the chart on page 4 with all the data by beats, I'm from the Anstey ward, which is beat 58, and I think you can see that that's the highest increase in crime, 40.2%. So we've heard a lot about Loughborough and the town centre, but what are we doing about rural policing?
Sergeant Paul, it's exactly the same big thing as reporting. Again, in the villages, we've had an increase of a number of different types of crime. We tend to find with the villages, you'll get peak, almost like a little spike. Burst of the one that jumps to mind is, because in Burst, where there were a couple of nights where a lot of sheds broken into, and it literally was within two nights, 15, 20 sheds. So, assuming that on the figures in a small area, that's a big increase in percentage wise. But we say the same, whether it's the town be, the villages be, you know, the bigger towns, the bigger villages, it doesn't really matter. We police it in the same way. We've got obviously a small number of resources we can move around, but the key thing is having that reporting interest. If we've got things reported to us, we can then look at what we need to put in place. Same message goes out as a partnership with the same corporate messages go out from our media releases around prevention and protecting yourself from crime. We do often move our resources. All our staff are assigned to a beat, in essence, but we can move them around. If we've got one beat that becomes a particular problem, I can use staff from another beat on one case, so I need you to work there for a couple of days. And we do that when we need to do. So the message across all beats is the same, all to the parish is the same. But the key thing is we need that reporting in, because things are reported into, we can better deal with it.
So has that happened within Anstey then over the last year? Have you had additional resources? Because I've not seen resources being targeted to that area.
They've got an additional PCSO moved to that beat recently, so we've also had a number of new PCSOs join the beat team. One's gone out there, we've now got two out there, we had one before.
No, we had two.
Not for a long time, we had one. One's gone for quite a while, so we've got two out there. There's a PC working there. Again, I've got to be a bit careful, but within the model we've got, obviously everything's done by sort of threat assessment from a couple of years ago, so we're looking at what staff we put where, depending on the threat levels of each beat area. Now I've got a PC assigned out there as well, which covers it, and all that through the PCSOs. Again, if I need to, I have to move people around. They will still all be normally assigned to a beat, but wherever I need to, we've had problems in Syston with a spike of overnight crime in Syston, we'll move people around where we need to do. The difficulty with the beat team is that our core hours, sort of the daytime and evening, up to midnight-ish. But again, it's not, I can't move them beyond that. I have had people working 3 and 4 in the morning where there's been a need to do. So it's just, we look at, I'm a big part of my role is almost on a day-by-day basis, looking at what crime's happened overnight. I'm managing the last 7 days crime, trying to look at any patterns that are emerging. And then we'll link in with everybody else with the partners, what we can do around the partnership for us. But I will then look at, you know, I need my staff to be there for a few days.
So you're sort of reacting to what's happened the week before.
A lot of it, yeah.
Are you then doing any sort of prevention work?
We're always doing prevention work, always are doing. And that forms out, especially from the partnership approach, with the media releases. We have a whole raft of crime prevention material that we're always out there distributing. And we've recently had a spate of road shows around the borough, where we've had our, we were using our beat bus, we broke down on roofs, we had to take the van instead. But again, we get around it. It wasn't stormy, it broke down, and the exhaust fell off it, bizarrely. But all these things are planned, and we will continue through the year. We've got some more planned in the year. Again, so it's that constant sort of crime prevention. Ultimately, like I said earlier, there's only so much we can do from the police and the partnership, but a lot of it is residents as well need to help themselves. We still get people leave the doors unlocked overnight, the cars unlocked overnight, so we return the message out there. We do what we can. We need yourselves to help us do extra, and then between us, hopefully we'll bring the crime numbers right down.
Councillor Draycott.
Thank you, Chair. Councillor Mary Draycott. Can I first just say, and it won't be in these figures, it will be in the next ones, I think, that you'll come with, to say thank you for the work done on closing the three crack houses. Two in Hastings and I think one just outside it. A lot of residents are having a bit of respite and very much appreciate the work that was done. My question is to do with the figures on domestic abuse. It says at the bottom of page 8 and Council Page has commented also an increase of 39%. Councillor Page said it was because people have got more confidence in reporting. I think also one of the reasons is that there's now not the support mechanisms that there used to be, voluntary groups and Women's Aid and all of that are no longer able to help. So the avenues are a bit more restricted. But yes, it's good that it's reported. But what I'm concerned about is some developments that are coming up soon, and that will be the money that's going to cease, for example, children's centres, the change to universal credit, and the Troubled Families Programme losing their funding. This is all what starts domestic arguments and abuse and what have you within the home. So I think that 39% is going to get worse when we get these massive benefit changes and the funding that will cease for these really important projects, which benefits a lot of families in Hastings.
you know, and that worries me that this figure is going to increase. Is there anything that can be done to kind of mitigate that in any way by the partnership, or take it on board at least that there will be a possibility of an increase because of what's going to happen in the next few months?
I just cover a couple of points on that, is Chris Trail. There is support around domestic abuse. There's an agency called UEVA, and we can produce more, provide more information on UEVA in the next update around that, and that's also covered in the budget, but I can cover more detail on that. So there isn't a detraction from resources, they're just managed in a different way in different contracts, so we can give you more detail on that. As a partnership, we are aware of the changes that are ongoing at the County Council around support to support supporting Leicestershire families and the Children's Centre programme. I chair the Think Family Partnership, and we have the Childhood Together Partnership, and also a report has been taken to Cabinet around some of those changes and the potential implications of those changes. I think it's just important to remember that even though we host the programme here at Childhood, it is resourced through the County Council. However, we've made some comments around the geographical location of some of the proposals and whether that will work in practice, and also some of the one-to-one support that goes to families that has an emphasis in the current programme and is some of the proposals in the budget reductions going forward. So there are some positives in that as to it's not just centre-based but also family-based and whole family-based, and that they're working in partnership. But naturally, we want to make sure that those resources continue to be targeted in the way that meets those families best. And what we've also said is that it's important that things like the Joint Action Group that both Paul and I have mentioned, that is representative of agencies like ourselves and the police, but also wider partners like Adult Social Care and Children's Services, need to continue to be at that table so that we're really picking up those families in the correct way and doing that preventative work. So it's not really for my place this evening to talk about County Council resources. What we're trying to do is make sure we use those resources effectively going forward.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Councillor Seaton.
Thank you, Councillor Seaton. Obviously, beat 62 and 63 stand out like sore thumbs. Could you explain those thumbs to me, if possible? One is brilliant.
I suppose the question with regards to what specifically?
Well, one's a 0% increase, so it's that, what are you doing there that obviously is successful, or is it just luck? And what aren't you doing in Beat 63?
Paula, to be honest, we're doing nothing different across the different areas. It's just, it's a different kind of makeup and demographic. Plus the 62, it's the town centre, a big part of the town centre work. We'd include like shoplifting and things. So with shoplifting, big push to try and reduce that. It's obviously we aim for all the time. There has been some success around targeting certain offenders. The beauty of the shoplifting is we know who the offenders are. We can target them more specifically, much more easy. And we go on a top three basis, and we got to the point the top three were all in prison, so we had to choose another top three, which is good. I mean, that's a great success, and that's what we've been working on, which has brought the shoplifting figures down. We've also had good results with the student burglaries. Mm-hmm. Now, traditionally, students, when they come back in the autumn, the levels of burglary around the student triangle, around the sort of the Oxford Street and that Cumberland Road area, mm-hmm. horrendous, because most of them's first time away from home, the doors are left open, they go out drinking, all that, come on, the house been broken into. Again, through the partnership approach, that the message is getting much better, and they are looking up. We've seen a significant reduction in burglaries overall. The reduction on student properties is incredible. Huge. I've been here a long time. It's refreshing to see. So that would reflect in the overall figures of being at 0%. The 63, again, you've got a whole different, it's primarily residential, Nampanton outputs and the Shelthorpe. And looking across it, we've had actually the burglaries were reduced 42%. It's the theft of. Now, when you look at the percentage increase is enormous, but actually the numbers are actually small in actual numbers of vehicles taken.
Right.
It's gone from 1 to 16.
Yeah.
16 too many, I accept that. 16 always too many. But the percentage increase is massive because we start from such a low figure to start with. And they're ranging from sort of, we've seen scooters, mopeds, motorbikes.
It's not because that, scooters and motorbikes. So yeah. You're not talking about because those areas have got the larger, more desirable mixture of cars.
It's been a mix, but we have seen, is at the JAG, we've got to JAG a number of times, and then the partnership did some media releases around trying to secure motorbikes more easily. The problem with, especially the scooters and the smaller motorbikes, scooters, mopeds, they're so easy to pinch. We don't often see high-powered sports bikes at all, because they're generally in the garage, locked up, ground down, they've got security for people really locking down because they're expensive bikes.
As Ward Council for Nampanton as well, I think you had a targeted campaign where you, one, there was a little spate of theft, and I think you went after one or two people specifically.
Yeah, and it is exactly that.
You made the difference in that.
It does.
It does give the confidence as well, I think, in the community if we go after individuals and people know the book.
Apprehension.
Well, obviously, sorry. I was just going to add a little bit extra. The university are part of the community safety partnership. Mm. So the work between the university, community safety partnership, and the police are what I think has probably led to an improvement in the situation for the students, because they've been given all the details when they get there. Lock up the house. Make sure you keep things closed up. Don't leave things on view in the house. All this was told to them, and they've taken it on board.
Brilliant.
It's been a more concerted campaign to the student population.
Obviously, my area, Thurmston, is B61, and I shall leave that to Councillor Rowe to speak about. But well done on B62. But I'm looking forward to sitting here in a year's time and not listen to the crime has gone up because it's a new way of recording, because I think I've heard that for more than a year now. And I think it's not an excuse. Crime is going up. So we don't need to excuse what we're doing wrong or right. It's going up. And, we're just backpedalling sometimes, aren't we? But I don't think, as I say, I'm looking forward to next year, not say it's gone up because there's a spike of extra reporting. It's recorded differently now. I
have a general observation at the end I'd like to make, but Councillor Harris, if you want to.
Yeah, Councillor Keith Harris.
Councillor, though.
there's a lot of emphasis here on crime resulting from drug abuse, i.e. the victims in some way, the victims themselves, if they're drug abusers or whatever. There's less emphasis on how easy it is to obtain drugs in certain areas. The area where I live, rather than my my council ward, is Leamington, and it's very easy to find drugs in Leamington. And even on my street, Rendell Street, right near the school in Rendell Street, there's often a few dudes sitting around in cars who have no business being there. And it's pretty obvious what they're doing. And local people, local residents, monitor that and report it. But I very rarely see the local policeman Viren around the place. And they get away with it. They're just selling stuff. And then we have the problem where that produces more drug addicts and therefore more crime. So where does that fit in, that we nail the guys who were selling it in the first place?
Paul Hazen, that's a button, that's what you need. You're right, I mean, the initial reports, the challenge going forward for us about the crime has increased, but across the country, we're doing quite a lot actually overall. We don't want to increase it, but we're going to see some. I think the general state of the economy and everything around us will see the crime increase, but it's trying to manage that down to as low a level as possible. And the report says initially, the challenge going forward is drugs. It's one of our challenges across the Loughborough primarily. It's within Charnwood, but it's primarily around the Loughborough area. You mentioned Leamington, Hastings was another one where I would say at the minute, our threat area is around the Hastings into Leamington. It's that sort of cluster area where we get our biggest significant problem. What we're doing about it, we, as mentioned earlier, we've closed, we've now closed 8 houses down in the last 6 months, so it's something that we're doing more lined up, where we target addresses where we know drugs have been dealt from them consistently. Everything we do first, we try and remove the problem from the address, because usually within that you've got a victim living at the address, which is generally a drug user who's the tenant, who's basically been taken over by dealers. We're trying to do everything we can to protect them, remove the dealing from the address. Sometimes our only option is to close the house down completely. We then step into a partnership with a view to try and rehouse that person to give them a better fresh start away from the area somewhere, so they're away from that drug dealing. Intelligence is key. People ringing in reporting, we have to have that, because that then gives us the grounds to do the warrants on properties, so we can go and enforce it. But ultimately, I could pretty much send my teams out day in, day out, enforcing on drugs, whether it be a warrant or a house closure or just arresting somebody to search them. The upshot is we can't get rid of the demand. There are drug users out there. We need to do as a partnership, looking much more around what we can do ourselves, the council, other agencies, charities, to try and reduce the demand for drugs out there in the first place. And health as well. It's a key part in trying to remove that initial need for drugs. Is it easy to do?
No.
We can enforce, no problem at all. I can literally almost guarantee I can cover most easily with some kind of drug enforcement. But we need to try and remove the need for drugs in the first place. That's the real challenge we've got going forward. And it's on the jag, it's something we are looking at within, trying to bring other agencies on board, using that turning point. Some of the things we're looking at are quite innovative, really, and sometimes we can think, really? But we need to try it. Because if we can get people away from using drugs in the first place, there's no need for the dealers, they then move somewhere else. That's what we want. Because wherever there's drugs, you've got vulnerable people, you've got the risk of the drug user overdosing ultimately and being found dead because of drug overdose. You've got the related crime as well, because drugs lead to crime. Let's not pretend it doesn't, because it has to be funded somehow, and most people who are using drugs heavily aren't working, so they're either shoplifting or burgling or stealing from cars to fund the drugs. So it is, without a doubt, it is definitely our biggest challenge going forward.
That was my point, that one leads to the other.
Absolutely, without a doubt. But for a few years, people tried to pretend it didn't. Daft. It's obviously one leads to the other. You know.
So, again, if I see that on my street, I report it.
We need to know.
But what's the likelihood that anybody would see them or come down and look at it before they've disappeared?
Well, again, it's not something we can't always get there and then. Our hands up, we're going to rarely get there and then. But if we get an idea we've got a consistent location that's being used, we know then we can get somebody down there at the right time.
Registration numbers?
Absolutely. Yeah. All that information is, to us at the minute, intelligence is the most important thing we can have. Crime reporting is good. Intelligence is better because we know who to target, where to target, and more importantly, when. If we know a certain street corner has been used the same time every day, I can get that watched, I can do things.
I think, yeah, frustrating as it can be at times, certainly the message, we sit on a thing called the Lapra Community Liaison Group, Campus Liaison Group, and the police message there has been consistently report, because it's what targets resources. Yeah. Councillor Lowe, if I can just
make Councillor Lowe
the last one before something up.
A few things, I mean, just to come back on what you're saying there, that you're moving people out of the area. I mean, that's all very well and good, but you're moving them people into the other areas, Syston, Thurmiston, Anstey, etc., etc., and then they're moving that problem elsewhere, which is just spreading the net, you know, which isn't doing the whole of the borough any good. But my main point was, I mean, I think the figures were shocking, absolutely shocking. And thank you for explaining this, because you're recording them differently. But I've heard that time and time again, you know, for the last 20 years I've been hearing that, oh, recording them differently, that's why I'm recording them differently. And that's got to stop, because we need to have a level playing field to see where the spikes are, because we're getting blank figures because you're recording it differently. So it's got to be recorded differently. But that was just a statement, really. The other thing is, I'm looking at the partnership locality fund, you know, the £75,500. The vast majority of that has been spent on students. That's where I read it. You know, I could go through there, well, that's student related. The only one that isn't really is sort of domestic abuse. But everything else, I'd say students. So is a local university funding this or supporting this, or are we just having to fund it all ourselves?
I think, just to answer on a couple of those points, I do understand what you're saying about recording, and I think the point's well made. I think also that Paul's answered the point that I think Councillor Saint also referred to it. At the end of the day, There are different types of criminals out there, and we just need to get smarter at trying to make it more disruptive for them. And it would be a lovely world where we assume that there was no crime at all. I don't think we're going to get to that position. We just need to get different strategies to do that and make it really uncomfortable for them. In terms of the student areas, and I understand the point you're making about students, but it's also that locality that then attracts different types of crime that we're talking about. I'm not suggesting students take drugs or anything else like that, but there are different types of behaviour, like antisocial behaviour and concern around certain vulnerabilities. And also, some of those students do sit alongside other people who have different vulnerabilities as well. So I really don't want you going away with the impression that we just spend money directly on students. Page quite rightly said as well, the university are present at the partnership and very present, and they do put money into preventative schemes around antisocial behaviour, but also how they sort of design their own estate as well and support that. So I wouldn't want you thinking they're an unwilling partner. They have been very supportive around a number of measures and actually stood up at partnership meetings when they've had quite a tough challenge around some challenging behaviour from some students as well. Is partnership always easy? No, and we know that ourselves from sitting around the table here. But they're never not willing to listen and work with us, and they do commit resources, and I wouldn't want you going out with that impression that they're not. On the resources, we're always receptive to looking at that, and we do talk quite a lot with the Police and Crime Commissioner about moving resources around and also then bringing additional resources into things. And Paul's quite right, we've done a number of initiatives where the police have committed additional resources, or we've done campaigns like we're saying in that particular area, and we're not unwilling to do that. I think your point is, what you're both making really well is, unfortunately some of that is after crime has happened, and we try and do preventative work, but try and not do that too much on a blanket approach, and that's sometimes hard. And I totally understand we sometimes don't get that right, and we try and follow the patterns of behaviour of individuals, knowing where else they'll go, and make it really unpopular for them, or work with the agencies that actually then keep them behind bars, so that actually they're getting the right sentences for the right types of crime, and we both find that really challenging.
Could I just ask one operational question, I suppose? At the moment, three in my area around Thurmston, South Crows and Bartby and Beebe, up to now there's been three dumping off of spent crop of cannabis. So this has been reported by me to Serco, as in it's dumped rubbish. Should I report that to the police as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because again, it is exactly.
I mean, one of the jobs I didn't think I'd be doing was opening bags and finding compost and picking it up and doing a stupid thing and smelling, and I thought, it's cannabis. But of course it's got all the paraphernalia with it. It's got the fertiliser bottles and all of that there. They're empty, obviously. So that should be reported to the police, should it?
Either or. I mean both, yeah. Would be ideal, because at least when we were aware of it, we can tie it to the intelligence. That, keeping yeah. Again, it's that intelligence picture we need, because then we can develop things further from it.
So the operational thing was, does Serco report it to the police?
Sorry, quickly.
They should, but we'll make sure that pass. They are, and I'll check that as well.
So I reported some to Clean Greener, trying to fly tipping, and they came back to me to say it was cannabis plants. So I'm presuming they should really pass that information on to the police. So. Can we check that is sort of happening internally? So silly us having to record dumping and then record the crime. If they're aware when they go and collect the rubbish that it's drug related.
It's notified through tools automatically.
Yeah, it's better for that to happen internally.
Yeah.
On a couple of points, just to sum up a little bit and then also to make a point as well. I know, Councillor Page, you've only been chair, I believe, for one meeting, if I'm correct. So it's rather unfair to make a point at you directly in terms of the committee, but I just want to make a general observation. I think generally we all get the message report, 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 and that's been driven home to us by the police at the Loughborough community, and I think there has been a difference this year slightly in some areas around the university camp. I just know that has also a ward council in that area. On a more general basis, I think we all support, and the public would support, the work of the police, and we understand everybody's trying and the partnership is trying. As I understand it, we have a statutory requirement to have a safety partnership, community safety partnership, and this body is constitutionally required to scrutinise it.
My issue is that when I look at the report, and you've heard some of the comments about statistics, and I too, whenever I've touched the community safety partnership and the statistics, there's a constant message of variation of measurement, and we've also had that from the Loughborough community liaison group as well over time. I'd like us to think, and it's a sort of semi-challenge too to Councillor Page, I struggle to measure progress against our four-year plan in any way. And so I think the public would recognise everyone's trying to do good. The public would recognise the themes and the thrust of all of the work in here and support all of that. My issue is, what are we doing in here to scrutinise you against a performance plan over 4 years? Because I can't. I can't do anything with the information I'm presented to say what progress we're making against a four-year plan to 2023, because I've got nothing to get hold of. I've got all the intent and all the goodwill and all the performance, and I'm completely support that, as the public would. As soon as we on the ground as councillors go out to the public and say, yes, I know the figures increase, but it's the way we measure it, the public will yawn at us a bit, but we know that's the reality of it sometimes, and we have to take our duty and responsibility seriously to try and act as those intermediaries at times. But I would question and challenge the safety partnership, and that possibly to the point of actually getting the PCC here at some point, not as a knee-jerk reaction, but strategically invited, because I struggle to go out of anything to do with the community safety partnership and the statistics side of us measuring and scrutinising it and giving a convincing message to the public, because I can't measure it against a four-year plan. The whole plan revolves around the word reduce, but the reduce is constantly affected by a change in measurement, and I can't go out to the public. I'm sure it's a frustration. I've had police frustration over Sentinel and other bits and pieces. The reality is, I think it's incumbent upon us, if that's a constant message, you've heard two of our colleagues say that, that's a constant message, maybe it's time for us to look at how we deal with it and to say to the PCC, the method of operation in the way everything comes to us isn't acceptable to us as we go back to the public on these issues. We all support it, we all get the intent, we all understand reporting, we all understand targeting resources, all of those things, all of the messaging, the thing, we get it, we understand and we support that, and we know it's trying to do good. But I have a duty to scrutinise this against a four-year performance plan, which I can't do because it's very isolated. And I think we have a duty, if that's a constant message from my colleagues, and over the couple of years I've touched this, I also have had that frustration of like-for-like measurement against a four-year plan that doesn't give me anything to measure progress against. And I think we need to change it. I think we need to take the opportunity to say, not in the harsh world of enough's enough, it's not a threat or anything. We've got to do this better so that we can go out and encourage the public that it really is working and we're succeeding. And even if we're not succeeding, we know what we're working to as a plan to do that, that we can go out and defend and measure. So it's a challenge really to Councillor Page on that committee. I think there's a more strategic, it's not a knee-jerk reaction. I'm only chairing tonight in the absence of Councillor Mia. And I wouldn't wish to do anything from Scrutiny Management Board without his support, so I'm not going to fire official recommendations at you and action. What I would say is, I think there is a more strategic approach we can take before this comes back in 6 months' time for us to start to look at it, because if we're all saying something similar and we've said that consistently over a period of time, I think it's time to change it. And that doesn't mean I change the work, the intent, the will, all the stuff. It's the way we're scrutinising it and our ability to do that job on behalf of the public, rather than go out and say the headline figure is a 12% increase, but it's the way we measure it, which the public will be fed up with on a day-to-day basis. Even if that's actually true, we can't go out and do that time and time again. And I can't say that we're making progress, though, against the four-year plan, because I've got nothing to measure it against other than the word we're all trying to reduce it. Of course we are. And it's no blame associated with this. I'm not directing it. I'd like to do it better. And that means having a root and branch look at what we do with the PCC, how that comes down from, I think there's a Leicestershire Community Safety Partnership, and what comes down to us in Charnwood, that we can go out and defend with our residents and go out and support you because we want to. Does that make sense? I hope that's a nothing formal, Councillor Page, but I wouldn't want to talk to Councillor Mia. I don't want to sit here in a year's time and go, yeah, look at the stats, but the measurement's changed on some of them, but not on others, like for like, yeah, support what you're doing, yeah, understand you reduce it, but you've got no idea what progress is like against the 2023 plan, because I've got nothing to measure against other than goodwill and intent, which we all support.
Well, a lot of this change of how you record everything comes down from the Home Office.
Yeah.
It's got nothing to do with the PCC.
So we've got to find a way
to
communicate and get that. So we as a scrutiny panel, whose job is to scrutinise on behalf of the public, need to get that in a way we can do that effectively. And I'll take a final point from Councillor Seaton.
How we're going to scrutinise and what we're going to scrutinise. These beats are, as you've said earlier, that they're made up of diverse areas. Mm-hmm. And here we've got South Croson. Now, I know a battery was stolen from South Croson last year. That was their crime wave. So that's within the percentage of Syston and Thurmaston. Last night, big headlines, sentenced from Thurmaston. So you've got Quenneyborough, which I don't know is whether it's a hotspot or not, Syston, Thurmaston. And I have asked this time and time again when I come here, and whether that could be separated, whether we could find out whether... I know it happens to be my area, but we've got Birstall and Wanlip. Wanlip probably isn't a crime wave, but Birstall is. But you've got them lumped together. But I've been told each time that it's too resource-heavy to do it and too costly. But I'm sure with this day and age of having computers... the computer can pick out whether it's an address in Thurmaston, in Syston, in Bartby, or whatever.
I think we're asking Councillor Page to
investigate.
Just come back on that. The parish councils or the town councils get a report from the local police,
don't
which break them down.
I
want to draw this to a close, but if we can make this one last comment.
Yep.
We had a report from the police that came down from the chief constable himself that he would no longer do crime figures for the local area.
No longer. It's too resourceful.
Too resourceful. Which is absolutely ridiculous.
I agree with you.
Hence, the request from this committee, my angle is from the reporting, measurement, .. and it might need to involve the PCC. But I think we're challenging the way we do this in here. And that means coming to you as chair of the committee and working through the official process.
You almost need another form of performance measure rather than just...
Well, might we have to rewrite the way the four-year plan's written? Yeah. It's collective job to get this right. Yeah. So can I just ask, on regards to the action requested, that we're happy to support and take this forward and move this paper?
Great.
Mm-hmm. All happy?
Yeah.
Okay.
But there's a but.
Well, the but is I would prefer the but is with Councillor Mia. I'd prefer to talk to Councillor Mia as the official chair of this committee before the official but. But there's another official but to carry on with.
Thank you.
Okay. Item 7. Thank you very much for that. Thank you for attending tonight. We do appreciate it, and it gives us an opportunity to ask the questions that you can see we have. So appreciate that. Thank you very much. Thank you.
A good recovery from his very painful injury.
I've been really getting my collarbone myself. It's very painful.
Very, very painful.
Item 7, scrutiny of council's budget. Mm-hmm. I believe that's you, Mr. Jackson.
It is.
Good night. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Right. This is an annual report. So maybe I'll just talk. If I just sort of very briefly go through what happened and my comments, then I'll leave it open to the panel. Really. So in sort of fairly. In a sort of what's become a fairly standard process, we ran four budget scrutiny panel meetings in the year. So the first one was in, I believe it was in June, where we had a look at the council's finances, we had a look at the outturn, the housing revenue account, and we also had a look at sort of how we were going to construct the medium-term financial strategy, which is how we develop the numbers for the year and create the sort of forward-looking outlook over 2 to 3 years. We discussed the assumptions. I think that one went reasonably well. We then had an informal meeting of Loughborough councillors in September, And the idea of this was to enable local councils to put forward suggestions. It was requested that ideas were brought forward in advance to allow officers to consider them and allow some initial feedback. That meeting didn't really work out as well as it might have done, and I think there's some I'll comment on that subsequently. We then had the sort of a formal meeting, budget scrutiny panel meeting number two, where we did consider the medium-term financial strategy. So following on from the initial meeting in June, we looked at how it was constructed, assumptions and sensitivities, and what the numbers told us. And again, that I think went reasonably okay. We then are into a period where we actually construct the budget, and in December we're in a position, once we've actually published the cabinet report for the budget for consultation, we then bring that to another informal meeting of the budget scrutiny panel, and the idea of that meeting being to sort of have a look at the, if you like, the interesting items within that budget and make sure that for the scrutiny in January that follows, we have the right people around the table to allow questions to be answered. So obviously some of the questions may be financial, but other questions may be around, if we're proposing to do X, Y or Z, what is the impact on the service, or what are we trying to achieve? And clearly the head of service or director or responsible director is in a much better position to answer that than maybe the finance team who ultimately are doing a compilation job in constructing the budget. So that happened in December, and then in January we had the sort of the final formal meeting which discussed the draft budget, general fund, housing revenue account. In this particular year, it was a year where we constructed a new capital plan as well. So that was due this year, and that got you.